Hello everyone, welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey and I'm sat in front of a very nice brand new microphone. So this, no one can do anything in terms of getting excited about this, but that is the truth. Very exciting too. And not only that, Norwich City won again, 2-0 at home to Brighton. Promoted Brighton, of course, and that was on Friday night, so we even got a whole weekend-ish. I'm joined by Pinker.com editor, that's what I'll call you this time, Peter Raven, and head of news here at Arch in Norfolk, Ian Clark. Gentlemen, how are we on this Monday afternoon? Good?
We're good, yeah.
Very well, thank you, Michael.
I think you're all coming through, so that the mic's working. That's exciting. 2-0, Brighton, job done. Point proven, Clarky, do you think?
I think so. I think for me, the overriding theme of the night was what could have been. You know, we looked good. I thought, you know, there's a sense that Brighton were in the pub and their fans were singing "Score When We're Sober," and I think there's an element of that. But you know, we did show what we can do. Pritchard, I know he got man of the match and everyone's talked about him, but I thought he looked really good and was a taste of when he's at his peak, what he can do for us.
How important is Alex Pritchard next season, Pete? Because he, if you look at this, we'll get on to Stuart Webber, of course, Clarkie, but we're talking about a massive turnover of players in the summer. Therefore, you're probably going to need to sell one or two players who do actually command a fee. How desperately do you try and make sure that Alex Pritchard isn't one of them?
I think you're going to have to build the team around him if you want success. I can't speak for the away games because I've not been to a great deal, but he seems to influence the home games more than most players. I guess his inclusion in the starting 11 will be possibly at the expense of Wes. We've got to move on at some point, Michael.
Are you sure? Yeah. Are you saying that with a straight face?
No, he's got to stay. He's got to start. It's bizarre several times this season where he's played well in a game and then the next game he's on the bench again. Bizarre reasons for that, I don't know, but yes, Pritchard should be the first name on the sheet next season for me.
I think it's really interesting that Alan Irvin has started him every game since he took charge, and this is a guy who was, you know, coach, first team coach with Alec Neil, and he has kind of done that. He has almost built his little element of a Norwich City team around Alex Pritchard. And I know Alec Neil will be sitting there thinking, well, you know, I played him, then he didn't do so well in the next game, and I couldn't do this and what, then that, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that Alec Neil bought Alex Pritchard yet couldn't find a way to play him regularly has to be one of his biggest failings during his time at Norwich City.
Yeah, and maybe that's why he's in the commentary box, not in the dugout.
Is that they your words?
To call it a phrase from somebody else. Yeah, I guess one or two games I haven't been 100% convinced by Pritchard, but when you look at it in the round, the games he has played, he's got energy, he's got creativity, and he's got that little bit of magic that we need, which other players have got. But I know it's hard, Pete, but I'm in the same position, and you know, there comes a time when every great player has to move aside, and clearly they're a similar player, and while they have played in the same team, it's a bit of a luxury to have the two of them together.
And of course, we've got James Maddison behind as well, and that's going to be some big decisions there, most definitely, over the course of the summer. Interesting, I mean, just touching it, Alex Pritchard hasn't probably done as well away from home in general. Most of his top performances have come at home, but I'll always remember Alec Neil. I think he played him against Rotherham here, I think that was the home game, and then, or was another one, and then he played at Barnsley. And it didn't go very well. He came off at half time, and that was sort of the great example of how it doesn't work. For me, that game was 100% not about Alex Pritchard. It was about the support he had around him. It just didn't work as a team. And Alex Pritchard got a bit hung out to dry for that one, but there we go. What we did see was Alex Pritchard not score a goal, Pete, somehow. I mean, two times hitting the woodwork. To see it once in a game is you know, comical. Twice in the space of like 15, 20 minutes. Just remarkable. Poor David Stockdale, hey?
Yeah, unlucky. I'm struggling to remember the last time it happened once, let alone twice. It's we were up the other end, so we weren't entirely sure what happened until we saw the big screen rotate and tell us the full story. I feel sorry for Pritchard, really, especially against Brighton. But
who scored .com wasn't even giving him two assists.
No.
Which I thought was really harsh, because he'd definitely got the points in the Premier League fantasy league.
I felt most sorry for the bloke I heard about who got 110-1 odds for a 2-0 win with Pritchard to get the first goal.
Wow.
So he clearly didn't think it was an own goal, but yeah. Unfortunately,
poor guy,
he was overruled.
But we weren't, you know, we can't take too much away for Alex Pritchard for that one. And I mean, I guess Brighton had clearly done so much of what they needed to do. Did that have a major impact on that performance, or was it? Norwich clearly wanted to make up for the fact they got smashed back in at the Amex in October.
Yeah, Norwich were definitely playing for pride, and Brighton were playing just like Grant Holt and Elliot Ward did. That game after, I think it was when we got promoted at Portsmouth, the two of them were struggling to throw up on the pitch, I think. So you can excuse one or two lacklustre performances on the Brighton side.
They still had the carrot of winning the title. Yeah. But comes around so infrequently as a player. But
Yeah, and they will win it. I think the celebrations are just carried on a bit too long, and Norwich are always going to win that game. They didn't really trouble John Ruddy, did they?
The second half was so bad they didn't really show any of the highlights on Channel 5.
Yeah, they were just still enjoying themselves, weren't they?
2-0 win with no shots on target.
Yeah, I know, that must be a first as well, all these firsts.
Chris Hughton, and just a quick, very quick look before we get stuck into other stuff. He's done a remarkable job to turn them around. I remember the Brighton fans were pretty indifferent to Chris Hughton when he first went in, and when Norwich first went there two seasons ago. You know, they were still a possibility of them getting relegated. He didn't really feel like he had the players. So it has been a significant turnaround in that time to put them now where they are. But, and not solely based on Friday night, I think they're going to struggle next year without some serious, serious investment.
Yeah, I think Glenn Murray is a decent striker. Will he go?
I can't stand him. I've got to be honest. He's like Grant Holt.
I think he's a decent striker at this level. How will he cope when he's in that? As we know, and it's an increasingly big jump. Will he be scoring the number of goals that they need from him to survive? And I don't think he will do it there. When they really get pressed at the back, how will they stand up to that? And you know, home, it's often the case that you get the good support behind you, you can do it, but when you go away and you have to grind out 15, maybe 18 points away from home, will they be able to do that?
It's the same for every promoted side, isn't it? On the one hand, you get all that money, but you have to spend it all just to even try and stay out of that bottom three. So unless Chris hasn't learnt any lessons from his time with us in the top flight, they'll be straight back down again.
I don't even think Anthony Knockhart will be that impressive at that. He doesn't seem like a player, and again, this isn't based on Friday, this is based on the whole season. I mean, he does good stuff, but there'll be a reason why Leicester let him go. And I think you can look a very good player in the Championship and yet not make a single imprint on the Premier League. Yeah. That's just rules of the football life at the moment. Shall we, before we get stuck into other conversations, hear from Alex Pritchard? Alex Pritchard, man of the match performance. Yeah. Yet you didn't manage to officially score a goal. How did that feel tonight?
No, it was a good occasion. Obviously, I've come here. They needed to win the league, but we owe them one. Beating us 5-0 at their place, so we've come here 2-0. Good performance, and we go again next week.
Yeah, was that result back in October in the back of the players' mind today?
Yeah, I think I said it. A few others said it. Like, they beat us 5-0. They gave us a thumping, and we owed them one tonight, and we did.
Two goals coming in those sort of circumstances. I mean, not once would be strange, but twice.
Yeah, I don't think that will ever happen again. Like I said, that it won't happen again. I said to Nazy, look up at the board, two OGs, what can I do about it?
But in terms of celebrating like that, is that sort of in the back of your mind that they're not going to go down as yours, or do you celebrate them as best you can?
Yeah, it's one of the, I don't know what to say about it. It is one of those things, and hopefully I'll get one next week.
You've started every game, I think, so far under Alan Irvin. I can imagine it had been frustrating before that point with how little starts you'd got. How are you finding it now to have that faith in you?
Yeah, I think it was difficult. Obviously, I had some good performances and not so good performances before, but now Alan's gave me a chance. I'm very grateful to him, and he's kept me in the team, kept me playing. I owe it to him, and I owe it to myself as well.
And by this point, now that you've had a few games under your belt, you probably feel like you're in your best form because you've had that run of action.
Yeah, of course, it's not always easy to dip in and out of a team. It's difficult, and obviously players get frustrated, but like I say, I was giving me the chance, and I've got a run of games. I feel fitter, I feel stronger, and you can see.
Be remiss not to mention the Brighton reception. They're obviously still aware of what happened during the summer. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I just take it. It was good banter. It is what it is. And fair play to Brighton. They've been amazing this season. They deserve it.
Yeah, where do you stand on that? Because I guess you could have been a Brighton player, as they kept telling you. I mean, how do you feel about that at this moment in time?
It's just a decision. You live with it. You move on. And we'll get promoted next year, hopefully.
And that's going to be my next question, to be honest. In terms of what's happened at the club, clearly it hasn't happened this season. Are you willing to be patient enough to try next year?
Of course. I've got a contract here, so I should be here next season. And we just got to kick on. We've got to work hard. You know, it's going to be a massive change at the club. And hopefully we can do it next year.
Alex, thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you. Cheers.
So is there anything else we really need to reflect on the game? I don't feel like there is. Anything?
I don't really know. I saw the end bit of it on Sky, the little scuffle between Dorans and Knockhart, because he was really going after the goal. They had to be held back by all the team. So there must have been more to it than just Dorans in his face.
You've reminded me now, because I missed the goal, essentially. I just looked up, I looked across and saw the ball hit the bar and go in off Stockdale. But because I was watching Knockhart and Dorans, because I think one had had a kick out of the other, so they, and then they would chase the ball as play moved, and they were running to each other. I think maybe Knockhart had a little kick out him, or turned and grabbed Dorans. And then they were having another spat, and they were talking to each other in each other's faces, trying to get on with it, but they were clearly both unhappy, and Knockhart was really riled. Then of course the goal happened, and then it wasn't until about 3 hours after the game that I got back and saw what happened then, because I thought they'd just been booked for having a tete-a-tete, but you know, it was Dorans doing the full arms wide open staring in Knockhart's face. So that was quite funny, actually. Hilarious.
For a few minutes he was an angry man, and had the ball gone out to the wing, there could have been another rash challenge for him and he'd have gone. So it's just it's just surprising just how upset he seemed to be.
It was good. Which one? Who was most upset?
Knockhart.
Dorans seemed quite...
No, Dorans just carried on with it, but...
just a quick one. A suggestion, Rangers would quite like Graham Dorans. Sell?
I'd keep him.
I'd sell him.
I can't make up my mind, so I'm going to sit on the fence.
I imagine Malumba will be on his way. Yes. Tetti will want top flight football somewhere, whether he's good enough or not. I'd keep Dorans. Since he's come back in the side, I think him and Harrison, especially at Championship level...
I thought he looked better on Friday. I haven't been a great fan. When I did my who should stay and who should go, Dorans went. The thing for me is the consistency and the injuries, and the older he gets, the more prone he is.
It has been, he called it himself, the worst season he's ever had for injuries. So he has looked good the last couple of games. Now he's got back in, so we'll have to see. He hasn't worked his way back in yet, though.
No.
Not back into your squad.
And no. Will Rangers have the money that Norwich would want?
And certainly in terms of wages as well. Yeah. So there's a couple of things there. Norwich would probably look quite like the money. We should just touch on Chris Hughton's banter that I definitely saw. I don't know how many people saw it, but boring Norwich with a chance that rang out from the Barclay and Snake Pit. And Chris Hughton sort of turned to them. He sort of chuntered like he does, and then did some sort of yawning gesture. It was brilliant.
Never seen
anything like that while he was
here. Mr. Nice.
Why would he? You know, what's he going to think apart from just releasing a little bit of frustration?
I think that was it. And it was obviously a pretty wretched night for him in the context, I guess. Not that he'll really care managing a Premier League side next year, which would be exciting for him. Now, there was plenty of stuff, of course, that went on before kickoff, wasn't there, Clarky? Tell us how it all manifested.
Okay, well, I was in the Legends Lounge being wined and dined as one of the guests, and saw Adam Drew before the game, and he said that I said he was your guest. You often get a player who's injured or a player who's maybe on the fringe of the squad. And he said, we've got Stuart Webber in. And I thought, this is interesting. But assumed that he would be giving a fairly, you know, sort of tame, if you like, nothing too dramatic. And as the question started, he got a little bit more interesting. He started talking about why he'd picked Norwich over Huddersfield. And he talked about the car crash of a club that was QPR. And then he came to the question about how many players he felt of the current squad would be here in August. And he gave the figure of 12 to 15 from that night's programme. So, you know, we're looking at the 30 or so players that are on that list on the back. And I can only assume that's exactly what he meant. But he certainly said 12 to 15 of the current squad he felt would be here.
Because we had the Q&A today and the question came up, so I got the programme out and I looked at it. 28 names, 28. Obviously including players like Louis Thompson, who we haven't seen a lot of, Ben Godfrey, James Maddison, but not Ryan Ray Grant, I don't think. So 28 professionals. It's probably about average. It's quite a big squad. It's, and I think the actual and interesting. Probably should mention at this point, Stuart Webber has done a couple of interviews today. He's done one with My Football Writer and one with Along Come Norwich. I think the club are trying to open those interviews up to more what do you get, fan-led media sites. The interview he's done with Along Come Norwich, John Punt, well done. It's excellent. Some really interesting stuff in there, and interesting how he talks about the squad needing to be streamlined. And again, this sentiment that we maybe had during the course of the season, where there were too many options at times for Alec Neil. I think that's a fair point, or too many options in some places, and then no left back, a bit more of an issue. So yeah, 28 names on the back of the programme. I think you can quite easily twiddle off 12 without even blinking an eye, and probably just make it happen. So then it's a question of the others. I mean, it's still a colossal amount of players from a first team squad that actually, when all said and done, won't have gone too far wrong this season, just enough wrong.
I guess he said about the age of the squad as well, and you look at those that are the wrong side of 30. It's like Russell Martin's just played his 300th game. You've got Wes, you've got three four senior keepers, I guess, and like you think two of those will go. You just wonder if there's going to be one or two surprises in that exit list, but like you say, a lot of them, people forget that Turner's still at the club. Lafferty, obviously, if someone will take on his wages, it's like you can get rid of 12 of those and not be too disappointed, really.
I think it's five senior goalkeepers: John Ruddy, Michael McGovern, Declan Rudd, who's obviously on loan, Paul Jones, who's their choice keeper, and Remy Matthews, who's at Hamilton. And you imagine John Ruddy may well go this summer if they don't want to extend the contract. And it's a debate I've had with people about Ryan Bennett as well. I mean, people giving me a bit of stick for suggesting, oh, you can't just give him another year's extension because he had one good game and he did play well against Brighton. But it's not that. It's losing Michael Turner and Sebastian Bessong, definitely. You know, and Tim Closter is probably highly likely to go given the amount of money he's on, I would suggest. So do you then lose Ryan Bennett as well and you wipe out four centre-backs? I mean, you've got to give yourself a chance when you're recruiting for next season.
You've got a big job to completely rebuild a squad. Not, I think, you know, major surgery is needed, but if you're starting virtually from scratch, it's a huge job. But he was very clear on he wants players with hunger, with desire, that fit the age. He said, he said the squad on average is far too old. And he was very, very clear in the brutality of what's in store. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's really interesting that Brighton's, I think their squad has had the highest average age in the division. So that will be an interesting one when they develop that into a Premier League squad next year too. Well, you mentioned it, Russell Martin, 300th appearance. There were a few boos when his name got read, as has happened at a lot of home games this season. I'm not making mention out of Molehill. There were a few people, I don't really understand it, but they do it. It's a shame because ultimately he's, I think, the kind of servant people want at their football club. That's the irony of it.
And the kind of captain you want as well. Model professional. It's just, I guess, his love for the club and his enthusiasm and work rate isn't matched by the ability, I guess, but that's not his fault, is it? And he's also part of a collective of that defence that has been poor all season. It's not just down to him. I don't think anyone at the back can come out with much credit from this season. So he's the full guy, isn't he? He's the one that's always wheeled out afterwards. I think we had the same when Gary Doherty was here. It's always him, and then that turns the fans a bit as like, oh, we want to hear from someone else, or same excuses from Russell Martin. But he's even been brutally honest post-match as well, so you can't say he's just a yes man.
And lots of fans will back him for that as well. That's the thing. It's not his fault if fans think he's played too much, that he is then played. You can't blame him.
And we are fickle, aren't we? Because we say on the one hand, you know, as a fan I'm saying this, we want players only to be here on their merits, and if they're not good enough, whatever the reasons. And then we get, I get a little bit sentimental and say, well, you know, Russell's been a great servant and he's got a role at the club, and it's the same with Wes to an extent. You know, yes, he's over the 30 mark, but he's still got another season in him. So, if Webber is going to be really brutal and do it purely on who he thinks are good enough to be in that squad, I think he'll be making some choices that some of us won't be very pleased with.
But it's also the fact that it's got a bit stale, hasn't it? You've now got, I think it's five players in Norwich City's all-time top 100 that are still playing at the club for a club that's been going over 100 years. It does need that's shaking
a,
up
it's
a bit.
A very interesting point. I couldn't really believe that Alex Tetti was so high in the all-time appearances list for getting to 150. I found that.
Yeah, the 150 gets you in the top 100.
That's strange. Yeah, it's really interesting.
So those five are Ruddy, Tetti, Wes, Martin and...
Howson.
And Johnny Howson.
Yeah. So nuts, really, isn't it? That is remarkable. Don't they have to be careful not to throw the baby out with the dishwater, though? I mean, for me, defensive coaching and defensive mentality have been the biggest issues, and I don't think either of those are particularly fall on Russell Martin. I think his limitations have come enough around the lack of that around him, possibly, where you've got a captain who's going to have the right ethos in the club. What will be fast? I mean, this is where you pin it down. Stuart Webber is saying so many good things. He's saying exactly what people want to hear, and he's also he means it. He's not just saying it for the sake of it. He's going to do this stuff. If he then keeps hold of Russell Martin, people have to assume that he sees that as in the long term benefit of the football club, because if he wanted to bin him off like the others he's going to bin off, he'd bin him off. And if he does bin him off, then we have to, you know, the fans will have to back his judgment in that too.
I do wonder when Webber talks about a structure and having a Norwich City style, which he's talked about, that includes not just the players but those specific specialised coaching roles. So maybe there will be a defensive coach and he'll say that we need to develop that. Maybe there'll be an attacking coach. Maybe there'll be roles that aren't there at the moment, like a sporting director, which will come in and help him develop the overall picture that he wants, rather than just, you know, traditionally where you have a manager, players here, players here, players here, but look at it more in the round.
Which will be brilliant to see. But would Stuart Webber necessarily choose Alan Irvine to be one of his coaches?
Who has said that they still want him here? Is it him or is it...
I think Alan said it to Paddy after in an interview or pre-match press conference. I've missed a couple of them recently, so I don't know exactly which one he said it in, but I think it was to Paddy in one of those situations that the club have asked him to stay on. And Alan would effectively, he said, I'll wait and see who the head coach is and what it is. So.
Yeah, a head coach might come in and want his own team. And clearly, from what the players have said, they've got a lot of respect for him. But again, he is part of that management team that got us into this mess in the first place.
He's a lovely bloke, Alan. I don't know how much fire he has in his belly, but I do think in terms of the way he's managed the younger players, and he's absolutely brilliant, I thought, on James Maddison when he said, look, I could play him now, but I don't think the team will look after him. I don't think the team are in a place where they could look after a young player in the squad. Picked the moment at Preston, and I think it's just a shame we didn't see more of James Maddison maybe on Friday night. I still think we could have done one more than 6 minutes, but, you know, maybe even before Wes. But... you know, at least I think there were a few more signs there. So.
And Evan's record, I know it's a little bit false at this stage, we're out in the season, but it's not bad, is it?
4 wins from 8, isn't it, I think?
4 from 8, yeah.
So it's not bad at all. Everyone would take a 50% win percentage, definitely. Okay, is there anything else we need to bring up? What have we got coming up? Leeds! I mean, it's quite interesting.
Let's finish them off. Yeah. Love us.
How are we feeling about the chat? Because we are watching. I mentioned it in my six things. We're watching from the outside, which is not that enjoyable. But it is interesting seeing Fulham, you know, demolish Huddersfield for the second time this year, and Leeds in free fall with a manager who hasn't committed to next season. By the way,
well, it's weird for me. It's like because we're in it next season, and it's not really been a table that Norwich can get excited about. I've not been able to tell you who the four teams in the playoffs are and who's even fighting for relegation. I mean, just before Easter, I think Leeds were third or fourth, looking comfortable. Now we beat them on Saturday, that's them done.
It's nuts, isn't it? Would you love?
I would. I mean, if we bought all their best players, but kept one on the bench, sold some of us for a lot of money, and then we're going to ruin their playoff hopes. We're going to be their Wolves.
And gosh, and they wouldn't be coming back for Johnny Howson, we'd know that much, because they wouldn't be going up.
And I think, you know, I think Sheffield Wednesday, you've got Ipswich on Saturday, and they've got Fulham in the last game. So you'd fancy Sheffield Wednesday to be in it. Huddersfield have probably done enough already.
I think the four that are there will be the four.
Reading, I know Reading had a slightly disappointing defeat for them a few weeks ago, but generally
had a bad one on Saturday, to be honest. A 3-0 down at Forest,
but they're safe, aren't they?
They'll just get knocked out of the playoffs come the finals basically.
But Leeds not to even get there is extraordinary but funny.
Well, they might get there. Yeah, they might be Norwich on Saturday. Yeah. no No,
Leeds won't make it.
I don't know.
They're one of those clubs that are prone to failure, a bit like Derby.
Oh, God, I hope they're not listening to this. They're going to be playing this in the dressing room before the kickoff. Predictions every Saturday. I'm going to ask you for that.
I think we might go up there and do it. 2-1 Norwich.
Oh.
1-1 I think.
I'm not sure. I'd love it if they did. Obviously, it would be quite funny.
It'll be tenser, won't it?
Imagine.
Well, it will be for the home. I mean, that's what I mean. Yeah. They'd have a lot.
Norwich fans
after away game.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. That they're home fans, particularly if getting an early goal.
Which then it does become a bit funny, I suppose. Would Norwich rather be involved in that shake-up and miss out, or be laughing at someone missing out?
Well, if you can't have the first, you want to have the second, don't you? If you can't be involved, you want to have something to
win. I think for the fans, our sort of recent history of Leeds would be hilarious.
It would be quite funny, wouldn't it? It would be quite funny. And two away wins on the trot. Gosh, not that we're getting ahead of ourselves or anything. Well, as usual, don't forget, pinken.com will have all the live coverage, all the build-up, all the analysis from myself and Paddy over at Elland Road. So that will be good. We're not getting to the under-23s, what is it, Premier League Cup? Semi-final with Reading on the Sunday, but I'm sure we'll have some sort of a way you can follow it on the Sunday, so keep an eye out for that at pinken.com. Pinken Show is live this week at 7:30 with myself and Darren Eady, if the technology works. A bit of a difficult one last week, so but it was a great show. It's just, you know, got to watch all of it. It's like we've been there before, you know, it's fun. We'll get all that sorted out, I'm sure. I think that's it, really. Yeah, you're nodding then, Pete. Yeah, thank you very much, Clarky. Thanks, Pete. Right. Thanks for your time. And we'll see you on the other side of Elland Road. Enjoy it if you're going. If not, you know where to follow the action. Bye now.